Hey, J-Mon G is on the fly on a Friday, and that means we're well past hump day, and it is heavily involved as we are at Four Corners, which is the heartbeat of AirVenture 2026, the big, well, we don't really call that the wayfinding compass rose, but it is the only compass rose painted on the grounds, so I guess it is the wayfinding compass rose. Four Corners is where a lot of the EAA-centric buildings are, or tents as they might be. And we are here to talk to David Lighting, the Young Eagles Program Manager, about a lot of different things here at Four Corners, starting with where we are all set up today, and that is the fairly recent, last couple of years, Learn to Fly Center. And this is the first time we've visited here. So, David, thanks for having us.
Yeah, Jeff, thanks so much for joining us. I think you and I have made it a yearly tradition to talk about something somewhere around the ground.
So something
it was with someone. Yeah. So it was time we made it to the Learn to Fly Center, and yeah. I'm glad we did because, you know, the Four Corners, I think, plays a really important role in the event here. We're right on the intersection of Knapp and Celebration Way. You can see we're blessed with bagpipers that, you know, come through here now and then. We got a great view of Boeing Plaza. But most importantly,
Carnival barkers.
But most importantly, this location plays an important role in the attendee experience at the event. We've got the EAA Member Center on one corner. So folks that want to join EAA, renew EAA, ask questions about their EAA membership, they've got a go-to location on the corner. We've got an EAA merchandise tent, of course. So you need those take-homes. You can get that. And then when we're at today, the EAA Learn to Fly Center, you know, 6 or 7 years ago, I was sitting down with our vice president, Rick Larson, and we were saying, you know, there's not really a spot on the grounds to go. If you're someone that's coming to Oshkosh for the first time, or maybe it's your second time, and you say, I really want to learn to fly. If you stopped and asked someone, well, where should I go? We didn't have a place to point them.
Right.
And we felt that was a really big missing piece and a really really important thing to add to the convention. So we've really evolved what we've done the last couple of years. And, you know, I'm happy to talk through what we're doing here today. But the building here that we're standing in today is just a really good proof of the power of our volunteers as well, because what we have today is entirely thanks to the volunteers that we've had with us since year one in 2021.
So, yeah, let's talk about nuts and bolts of the Learn to Fly Center. What do we do here?
Yeah, so it's kind of multifaceted. So as you come in, there's a main welcome area. It's kind of our main pit area, and that is our – we'll answer any question there. Hey, where's the nearest bathroom? Hey, where's this vendor? But most importantly, hey, you know, I really want to get into flight training, and these are some of the things I've thought about, and I know what it's going to cost, but I've got questions on X, Y, Z, right? You know, I've been trying to find an AME in my area to take care of my medical. Can you help me with that? And the main pit answers a lot of those kind of high-level questions. And then as you transition from there, we've got a kiosk where you can just sign up for your student pilot certificate on location. We've got CFIs that are here ready to help because, as you know, getting that student pilot certificate is a critical part of those early flight training steps. So we're here to remove that barrier. And then just behind that, we have four Redbird TD2s. And these are simulators that provide a 5 to 10 minute introductory scenario of straight and level flight, basic takeoffs, basic landings, and all those are first come, first served. They're staffed by our excited and knowledgeable volunteers to help you fly those scenarios. And then this year, for the first time, we also have NATCA manning a Mike Fright ATC 101 experience.
That's awesome.
They will sit down with you. We've got an intercom set up where you put on a headset, the controller puts on a headset, and they've got a slide deck that they flip through of how to pick up ATIS, call ground, request takeoff clearance, call the downwind, all that stuff. Just, you know, I think folks, when they first get into flight training, sometimes it's not always the skills that they struggle with, but it's the confidence of talking on the radio. So we're trying to break down that barrier. And then in the very back of the tent, we have a forums area where we're doing about 20 forums throughout the week, all about learning to fly, prepping for the written exam, prepping for the oral exam, the practical exam. I just completed one, flight training first steps, stop dreaming, start flying, how to save time and money. I mean, we cover the whole thing, how to get into gliding. You know, that's another area that people want to get interested in. And then over on this side of the tent where you and I are on the very edge, we have an area that we call the Touch and Go Academy, which is entirely supported by our friends at Redbird. They provide two of their MCX motion advanced training devices and two CFIs, and People can come on over each day and sign up for a 30-minute flight lesson with that CFI. It's intended to be a discovery flight, and at the end of that flight, they walk away with a new logbook in hand, first flight lesson in the logbook, so they can go home and continue that flight training.
And it costs nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
We might note there are a couple of requirements.
Yep, though. There are a couple of requirements. The minimum age for the full motion sim is 16 years old, and they do have to show proof of U.S. citizenship, either with a valid passport or birth certificate and photo ID. As you know, you have to go through that TSA process to prove citizenship to start flight training. So to make sure we're following all those rules, we do require that here as well.
Yep. So what a cool concept. And, yeah, thanks to Redbird for bringing – these are very expensive simulators.
Very expensive. And honestly, it's one of those where it's taken so many different teams and groups to make this all happen. Again, Redbird providing these. They also provide the four TD2s that we have. But like I said, this year we've got NATCA supporting what we're doing. And also we've got a core of about 50 to 60 volunteers on an annual basis that are here to set up the week before a convention. And then they man everything the week of. And they take so much pride, you know, in what we do here. And it's we're really lucky to have them.
Yeah, we are. And, you know, David, as the Young Eagles manager, we'd be amiss if we didn't plug a little bit of. So yesterday was a big day for you, you know, Thursday.
It was.
It always it was. Is a big day over at the museum, right?
It was. So it was a big week for Young Eagles. So obviously it kind of fits in here at Learn to Fly because it's a great stepping stone to youth that want to get into flight training. But two big things that happened this week was on Wednesday we celebrated our 2.5 millionth Young Eagle flown, which is a big deal for us. We started a push at AirVenture 2025. We said we want to reach 2.5 Young Eagles by opening day of convention 2026. Sunday morning, when I woke up, our tracker and our internal database was 2,500,002. We hit our Young Eagles goal by two coming into this year, which was awesome. And then we flew a commemorative flight on Wednesday down on the flight line with our program chairman, Jimmy Graham, who flew a young gal by the name of Hazel Schaefer from Wausau, just an absolutely phenomenal young gal. And then last night was our big fundraiser for all of our youth programs, Young Eagles, as well as, you know, some of the other things we'll talk about here in a little bit. But I heard early reports, $2.8 million raised yesterday for EAA programs.
Very
which
nice.
Is,
yes.
It's incredible.
Generous,
it really is
generous.
Very generous.
Donors. But it's so valuable, these programs. I remember when we were standing somewhere here on the grounds talking about trying to reach 1 million. I mean, you know. Look at this.
Yeah, I was talking the other day, and I said, you know, if Tom Poperesny was here today, if he were to look back in 1992 when they flew Young Eagle number one and two and a few more to start that week out on the flight line and then hit 1 million in 2003 and then 2 million a few years ago, I don't think in his wildest dreams or really anyone's wildest dreams the program would be where it is today. But, again, it is entirely because of the volunteers, and the program has now gone from just a purely inspirational flight to we're going to inspire you. And as we'll talk about throughout today, all of the programs and resources EAA is putting in place to carry you forward throughout your flight training journey.
So there's a whole bunch of things on the books. Is that what you're telling me?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Well, you don't have to spill the beans, but I'm sure it'll be fun to talk about as we progress.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. One other thing I'd like to note on the Learn to Fly Center before we start to get out of here. The other thing we've really tried to highlight here, and I bring this up because it was a really important milestone for EAA last year as well, is the new sport pilot regulations. You know,
Mosaic.
Part of Mosaic, and you know, we're now calling it just Sport Pilot 2.0 because it's the new sport pilot rules. But we've done a nice job of kind of putting up some wall graphics here that really talk you through what are the primary differences between the private pilot track and the sport pilot track, and how much more accessible that sport pilot track is than ever before. And we're really trying to bring visibility to that and highlight all the great work that our government team to get us to that point.
That's pretty cool. Because there's a lot of questions like me, myself, you know, flying big airplanes and little airplanes, but certificated forever. It's hard to keep up with some of the, you know, the nuances of the new rule, especially.
Yeah, and I think one of the great things is, so today, unlike previously, 70% of the single engine fleet is sport pilot eligible. So that means you can go to virtually any flight school in the country and find an aircraft that a sport pilot can fly. I mean, the perfect example is the Cessna 172, right? I mean, that's sure. the that's yep. the poster child of all flight training aircraft.
152, 172.
Yep. Piper Cherokees, all of those are now sport pilot eligible. So that means you can go learn to fly in less time, less dime, especially if you're looking to just do it purely recreationally. But what this also means is, you know, you talked about you fly big airplanes, Jeff. You know, you're flying all around the world for your day job, but you still like to fly for fun.
Yep, I do.
At some point, as you get into your later career and your later years, you may decide, I don't really feel like doing this whole medical thing all the time with the FAA. I'm just going to fly under a valid driver's license.
Right.
Safely.
Yep.
And you're going to make sure you're fit for flight before every
self-certify.
Yep. But you can make that choice that I'm going to fly under this under this driver's license medical, and you can pretty much fly all of the aircraft that you do in your fleet, all those single engine aircraft that have a clean stall speed of 59 knots or less, four seats or less, and you don't have to do anything. You just let that medical expire, and now you can fly as a sport pilot, and you know, it's a way for you to stay involved with a little less hassle for the long haul.
Awesome. That was an exciting thing that we announced last year. And,
yes.
But the pieces are just coming together for people now.
They are, truly. They are.
So. Anyway, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about more stuff going on here in Four Corners and on convention grounds. Thanks, David. J-Mont G, we're on the fly at Four Corners, right in the center, right by the southeast corner of the big compass rose painted on the ground here. You're listening to EA Radio.